1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Plenty more overtime coming to you here on this Friday night. Programming note, at about 8:20, our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writes for WSA9.com. He will join us to give us his thoughts on what the Commanders need to do to secure a fourth straight victory Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. I've been wrestling back and forth with this all week. It is a trap game. I don't care. You can say I've got SLS, scoring lover syndrome, all you want. For years and years that I've been rooting for this team, games like Sunday, where it feels like everything's trending in the right direction. Winners of three in a row. National media is jockeying you. You're the number one story right now in the NFL. Jaden Daniels' jersey, number one selling last week. All the vibes feel good. For years and years, it feels like every time this franchise has been in this situation, it's almost like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. But that's why Sunday to me is so important. You've got the opportunity to switch the narrative, to change the way you're talked about locally. Because nationally, they already think you're the bee's knees. We got Jaden Daniels MVP conversations leading Cold Pizza, or for our first take. We got, it's everything. You turn on FS1, their brand new lineup of shows, all you hear is JD5. That's what I need to break out Sunday at Northwest. Could you imagine if a JD5 chant broke out? Hallelujah! I can't wait for it. And the thing to me that is so special about this time around when things are good is from the top down, everything's going the way it's supposed to go. For the first time in my life, ownership, GM, head coach, all on the same page. And damn, that's good. We'll continue to take your calls on the keys to victory for the Washington Commanders to move to 4-1 Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. If you're just joining us, my first couple of keys: stop the run, make Cleveland one-dimensional, right? Stay ahead of the chains offensively and protect Jaden Daniels. Browns going to blitz you. Eighth most blitzes in the NFL to this point, so they're going to get after you. Tied for seventh in sacks. So it's a good defense. Can you keep Jaden Daniels upright? I think the biggest key in keeping him upright is staying ahead of the chains. Don't put yourself in those obvious passing situations where that 1% or Myles Garrett can just tee off. And then my final key, play clean football. The one thing that's been interesting about the way that they've played over the past two, 3 weeks, the last 2 weeks in particular, not a lot of penalties, right? No turnovers. We had a turnover last week, but it was, non-impactful. Because of the defense and their ability to bounce back. To me, you play clean football, you don't turn it over, you don't beat yourselves, you'll give your chance a shot every week, especially if this offense is going to continue to play keep away the way that they have. Josh is in Upper Marlboro. Keys to victory, Josh.
My man, Linnell, youngest in charge. What's going on, brother? Good to be on with you.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, man. Hey, listen, I want to challenge you to get specific, brother. What I want to know from you is, When it comes to stopping the run, who or what specifically are you seeing? Because what I'm seeing is the most expensive two interior D linemen in the country getting stood straight up are the wonderful, phenomenal, media-friendly Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. But I am not seeing them bring it. I'm seeing them going to the wrong place at the wrong time and usually looking very vertical instead of moving forward. And so I'm wondering, what are you seeing in terms of why we are not stopping the run?
I think your eyes are just as good as mine, Josh. The highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL are not playing like the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL. I'm different. I'm cut from a different cloth. I don't answer anybody. I don't have to worry about whether or not John and Daron are going to like me or whether or not they're going to talk to me in the locker room. Their ass has not played worth a damn to start the year. Everybody that you talk to will say it. You go check out my guy Craig Hoffman. Hoffman Show, weekdays 4 to 7 on 980. He had Mark Schlereth join him. And Mark Schlereth gave the most open and honest commentary about John Allen and De'Ron Payne at this point. They're not playing up to their capabilities. And to me, Josh, it's the number one reason this defense can't stop a running faucet.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And my sense is, man, I think they got a little comfortable. They were kind of the golden child of this dysfunctional organization, right? Them and Terry were the ones that, okay, nobody's going to talk about. We need to fix everything else but them. But now they're the only ones left that we need to fix, which is crazy. So they got to get it together this week, man.
For sure. I agree 100%, Josh. I appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067. More on John and De'Ron because to answer the question in more detail, clearly John and De'Ron aren't the only issues with Washington's run defense. There are different plays. There are different culprits each and every snap. There are plays where sometimes the linebackers aren't, you know, quick enough scraping across. There are times where the defensive backs aren't run fitting properly. There are times when tackles are just missed. There are times when John and De'Ron overrun the play. But I think when you think about what's wrong and why John and De'Ron haven't been as effective, I'm going to tell you why John and De'Ron haven't been as effective. John and De'Ron haven't been as effective because straight up, those two guys are getting trapped. People are running counters against them. They're getting wham blocked. And quite frankly, I don't think they're playing with enough football awareness. Point blank. They got to be better at the point of attack. Everybody gets double teamed across the NFL. They can't let it stop them from making plays. 1-800-636-1067. Solomon is in Brandywine. What's going on, Solly?
What up? What up, Big L? How you doing, man? Hey, listen. You just hit something on the head.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those things matter. Trap blocks and all of that good stuff. But these brothers getting paid $20 million a year. Both of them. And my thing is this. They ceiling may have been reached with us. We got a new owner, a new regime, everybody on the chopping block. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is this, what they're not doing is glaring. They're running right down our throat. Everybody is.
Yep.
And to me, I'll say this, with the new regime, I do have a problem with them not playing none of them from starting seventh during the preseason.
You know what, Solly? Hey, look, I agree with you too, man. It's real. You can't get ready to play football without playing football, man.
Yeah, and my thing is, I could see if they was like double-digit sack getters. They not, you know what I'm saying? Nobody on this team is safe. And the reason why I pointed them to is because, you know, one of them was vocal about losing and all of that. I get that. But my guy, you not being productive. You not no beast in that D-line. You feel me? Like, I like Allen. I like Payne. But I'm a fan of the team first. And to be honest with you, we in a position where, you know, the offense is, they playing well and they getting better every game. So let's say if we win or we lose, but they still look like trash. What are we gonna do come to trading deadline, Joe? That's all I gotta ask everybody.
Yeah.
Because if we lose this game and it's strictly because of the run, they run it down our throat. We win this game because of the offense. Hey Slim, we gotta make a move because we're in a position where we might go way farther than everybody thought. So that's all I got to say, brother. Yeah. Y'all have a good weekend, man.
Solomon, appreciate you as always, brother. Hope you're out there Sunday. Look, I hear y'all, man. The run defense is a problem. You're 31st in the NFL in yards per attempt allowed, and you've got the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL. You know how hard that is? You know how uncommon that is? Straight up. I mean, they've got to be better in that category. But my thing is this, and I've been as critical of John and De'Ron as anybody around here. I will say it's not solely upon them, but they got to take a bigger onus, man. It is primarily on them. When you got the biggest paycheck, biggest salary cap hit, and teams are running right into the teeth of this defense, you must be better. Bob's in Lorton. Bob!
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Bob?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. I'm just glad they're winning. I'm glad that I can say not next year no more. And all I got to say is they'll get it together, man. If they don't, bench them. Thanks for taking my call. Go skin!
Bob and Lorton. Wow. You got to love Bob, don't you, man? 1-800-636-1067. Mad Max, do you have the same vibes that I have in terms of this being a trap game?
In terms of this game, absolutely. Like my little brother has already made sure to put the bad juju on us because he accidentally stole a Browns fan's food at work.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
This week.
It was. I know.
Yeah, any other week to come up off your coworker.
I know, man. And so
not Browns week, brother.
Exactly. It's the bad vibes, the bad juju. It's circling. I can
you
see
know what,
it,
Max. If we lose this game, I'm blaming you.
You should. No, this entire area should.
I mean, that's crazy.
At Alligator Ames, tweet at him once this game's over. Please do.
Get the hell out of here. What was the contents of the lunch?
So Jacob, my little brother, he works at Barstool Sports. They do live streams all the time. So a lot of times for these live streams, they'll have food delivered. Yeah. And a lot of times there are leftovers that get put in that fridge. Well, my little brother thought those were leftovers from the stream because the buffalo chicken wrap is often an ordered item. And there were two. So he grabbed one, had it for breakfast, and then somebody tweeted out at lunch, if you stole my buffalo chicken wrap out of the fridge at work, I hope all of your bets lose and all your football teams lose.
Oh my gosh.
Weekend. So yeah, it was a rough day for him, and it's going to be, I have a feeling it might be a rough week for us.
That 1-800-636-1067. Can you hear the adrenaline and energy sucked out of me? Because I'm a believer in juju, man. I'm a believer. You get out what you put into this world. You do bad things are going to happen to you. Brother. I mean, and Max is answering phones now, so I can't even follow up and go back and forth. But damn, little brother. It's your own damn chicken wrap. Ray is in D.C. What's going on, Ray?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate you. I like the show.
For sure.
I'm an old fan from back in the 80s. And,
God bless you, Ray.
Well, let me tell you, in my defense or my criticism, I kind of started giving up on the Commander some 10 years ago. You know, after 20 years of Dan Snyder, I couldn't take much more. But what I'm saying is that... it's going to take a lot of time. I'm creeping back. I don't know if I'm going to completely come back. I don't know yet. I've had to move on to other things in my life. Otherwise, I'd have lost my mind. But, hey, we've got a good coach that's coming back. He's got a second chance, a new GM, a new owner, and some good players. You know, I mean, Devon Payne and those guys are good, but they've never been a part of a winning culture. So there's a lot to still discover, but I feel good about what's happening now. I'm excited. I'm peeking. I'm watching the game, so it's going to take some time, and we'll see. But
we'll see. Ray,
I'm not criticizing anybody just yet, but I
feel that, Ray. And look, it takes a more seasoned fan to have that viewpoint, to look at things from that angle, that perspective, and I respect it. I'm going to tell you what, John. Let De'Ron Payne and John Allen ass not show up this week. I will be insufferable next week on radio. Let us lose this week, and Jerome Ford looks like the second coming of sweetness. But let it happen.
1-800-636-1067.
Johnny's in Fredericksburg. What's going on, Johnny? Johnny. Wow, Johnny, you missed your spot. It's a hard show to get on, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll see if Johnny's there when we get back. We'll take a quick timeout on the other side of the break. As I teased earlier, we've given you our keys to victory. Coming up next, my key commanders, the three guys that must play well or Washington won't move to 4-1. That's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock as we get you geared up for Commanders and Browns coming up on Sunday. Top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll finally get into it. If a team is going to move to 4-1, if this team is going to move to 4-1, then certain guys got to step up. Key Commanders coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. A couple of guys that must play well in order for Washington to pick up the victory. And I want to go over some numbers here again real quick because I think I don't want to get confused with some with folks in the demographic of the just run the damn ball crowd. I'm not there. I'm not. But I have been saying it since the summer. You drafted a quarterback number 2 overall, former Heisman Trophy winner, right? And you brought in Cliff Kingsbury, somebody that's got a very pass-happy track record, right? The thought process is, or the thought process was, I feel like, this summer, that Washington would be a football team that comes out, throws the ball all across the yard, 35 to 40 attempts per contest. That's not what they had the personnel to be. And what Cliff Kingsbury has done here throughout the first month of the season has been a damn clinic, an offensive masterclass in terms of how to be multiple with your personnel groupings, using tempo and keeping opposing defenses off balance. Wale put out the tweet of the week earlier this week. He said, man, we got to get Cliff Kingsbury's ass to a go-go or something before somebody comes and takes him away. Can we let him experience the DMV and all of the things it has to offer first before someone comes and sweeps him up? Because if you're telling me he's not going to be the flavor of the week during this year's coaching cycle, psh, wake up. Wake up. But look, Washington offensively, to me, obviously they've been the key to this 3-1 start. The defense that you play on Sunday in Cleveland can get after the passer, and they have guys that can individually take over football games. I've read these numbers a couple of times now. Yes, Cleveland's not the same defense they were last year, but you cannot come into this one trying to get outside of yourself, if that makes sense. Be who you are. Washington, say what you want, in my opinion at least, has established an offensive identity. Exotic, smash-mouth football. Last week it was 37 carries for 216 yards. Against the New York Giants, the rushing numbers out of this damn world. Ran for over 200 yards in that game. That's who you are, baby. Be that. Lean into that. That's okay. Right? Guards pulling, tackles pulling. It's not just your inside zone. It's power. It's duo. It's jet sweep action. They have been as multiple as any team in the NFL when it comes to their run game, and that's why they've had the immense amount of success that they have. Do you have the patience, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, to stick with it? Because against Cincinnati, you did. And maybe it helped because you had a little bit of a lead, right? The numbers against Cincinnati, 32 attempts, 108 yards, 3.4 yards a pop. It wasn't sexy, right? Big runs weren't easy to come by. But to have the wherewithal and the patience to run it 32 times, it keeps the opposing defense honest. And the last thing you want to do against a Cleveland Browns defense that's fifth in the NFL in total blitzes, right? Seventh in the NFL in sacks. The last thing you want to do against that group is put yourself in obvious passing situations. Point blank, period. If they could stay ahead of the chains by hook or by crook, because look, it doesn't have to be as a result of the running game. It can be because of the quick passing game. But you got to stay ahead of the chains. DJ's in Ashburn. What's going on, DJ?
Get my call. How are you?
I'm good, brother, man. How you feeling?
All right, man. So I know you guys are talking a lot about the defense. You know, defense got to step up. But to be honest with you, man, I don't see this as a trap game at all. Like, respectfully, the Browns' offense is trash. I honestly see – I mean, they are. I mean, they lost to the Giants. They lost to the Raiders. They barely snuck by the Jaguars. So this is not a good team. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they, you know, they can run the ball or whatever. But if we throw off their game plan by getting one or two stops, it's going to become a passing game. And then Deshaun Watson is going to throw two picks, right, because he can't throw.
No,
so, honestly, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. Like, they got to score points, too. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about our defense getting stops. They got to score, too. And I just don't see that they have the guys to make it happen against our defense. And our coaching staff this year has shown, you know, that they're able to make adjustments. which is something that didn't happen in the past. So honestly, I see us winning comfortably this week, maybe 7, maybe 10 points. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, DJ. 1-800-636-1067. Johnny's in Fredericksburg. Johnny, what's going on?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
First of all, I want to start off. I heard you on the Bart Winkler show, dude, late at night, and to preview the season, and you've been spot on, like, with everything.
I appreciate you, man.
There's someone else, too, I want to give props to. I don't forget his name. Dale, or what's his name? Denton. Yes, dude. That dude was talking about Jaden Daniels since October last year. Like, he has been right 120% so far as well. Like, that dude, he's cool in my book. But back to the game, dude. I think if we keep our run game going and, you know, we have to make, the previous call said, dude, we have to make a stop. And I'm hoping to see big things from Ben Sinnott, too, especially with Noah Brown being out.
For sure. Ben Sinnott's a dude, Johnny, where it's like, man, with – the evolution of them using more tight ends, being more versatile. Ben Sinnott's had a couple of shots each of the past 2 weeks to have some big-time catches down the field. Thing I love about Sinnott, man, not getting the targets, not bothering him. He's still blocking his face off in the running game.
Yeah, I feel like he's been open. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I just feel like he's just been open and, like, you know, I'm just waiting for a big game coming from him. At least, you know, a receiving yard where he breaks through, like, 2-3 tackles.
For sure. I think he ends up being one of the hidden gems of this draft class. Johnny, I appreciate you, as always, my friend. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, David Harrison joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we get Janelle's Super Six Pack, the most highly anticipated NFL power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll also let you hear from defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. Plus, I'll give you my key commanders. Who must step up in order for Washington to get to 4-1 on Sunday? It's next here on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Couple of guests still set to join the program. At about 8:20, we'll hear from our pal, David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. We'll get his thoughts on what Washington needs to do. Yes, the Commanders to get to a 4-1 start. Matt, Max, doesn't it feel fake, brother?
It's so hard to, like, put it into words how good it feels, but also how scary it feels.
I know. It's crazy. Foreign territory to be in. I'm looking forward to Sunday, trying to keep riding the momentum. Make sure you check us out each and every Burgundy and Gold game day right here on 106.7 The Fan. We get started at about 9 a.m. with Countdown to Kickoff with Earl Forsey. Then myself and Denton Day bring you Burgundy and Gold pregame live and then Burgundy and Gold in-game live. And then the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, wraps up our game day coverage with the Burgundy and Gold postgame shows. So make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan all weekend long as we get you geared up for Commanders and Browns. Key Commanders, who must play well in order for Washington to get a victory on Sunday. I cheated. Yeah, I said it. I cheated. Supposed to be three players. I have three bullets, and there are two players on two bullets. So I cheated. It's my list, so I can do what the hell I want. But in reality, right, who needs to play well for Washington to win? And I keep talking about that one percenter, Myles Garrett. Absolute game record. But it's not just him. It's not just him. It's the entire Cleveland front. They're not the same defense they were last year, but that D-line is still legit. Eighth most blitzes in the NFL, fifth in quarterback pressures, tied for seventh in sacks. They can get after you, and Myles Garrett still has the talent and ability to wreck a football game for you. What Washington's done at left tackle first month of the season is honestly as unique as anything I've ever seen. They have literally platoon swapped each and every drive. Brandon Coleman, Corin Lucas playing tag. It's your turn. Whipping ass for the last month. In the last two games, they have directly split the snaps 50-50. I believe Coleman played like two more snaps than Corin Lucas on Sunday against Arizona, but you get my point here. Both of those two dudes must play big-time ball in order for Washington to have a shot. Now, the interesting part about it is it's not just on those two. It's on the offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury as well. How many times are you going to have 6-7-man protections up front? Because you're going to need it, right? We got the chance to catch up with Luke McCaffrey earlier this week. I asked him, I said, Luke, you ready to chip big-ass Myles Garrett? And, of course, Luke, the football junkie that he is, starts chuckling. But, like, it's real, right? In order to have success offensively, you've got to have unsung heroes. You've got to have guys that are willing to do the dirty work. And Washington has a bunch of them. That's the one thing I would say. For as successful as Washington has been offensively, this is the most egoless group I've ever watched. No one thinks they're bigger than the rest of the operation, including the coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, who I told you, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm trying to come up with some fancy, cool simile or metaphor, but like Cliff's just been really good. That's the best way I can put it. I mentioned it earlier this week. You want to get some type of perspective for how good Cliff's been? Look at what the hell is going on in Chicago with Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams. They're drooling over Caleb Williams right now in Chicago after his performance on Sunday. Can I let you in on some of the numbers from Sunday? One, they only scored 24 points. That's it? Caleb Williams was 17 of 23, a 157 and a touchdown, and they're ready to throw a damn parade out there in Chicago. See what I'm saying here? It's just levels to this. It's levels to it, and Cliff Kingsbury has done a phenomenal job. But Brandon Coleman and Corin Lucas must be good. Must be great. They're going to see a lot of Myles Garrett. Corin Lucas has had some good plays in the running game. He's been good moving his feet. Always is a steady Eddie whenever he gets an opportunity. But it's been really good this year. Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman is somebody I want with me late at night if I'm walking the streets of Southeast D.C. Brandon Coleman is somebody I want with me if I'm going into an alley with bad intentions and I got to come out on the other side. I want Big 74 right beside me. You kidding me? I don't want to make premature comparisons. But damn it, Logan Paulson did it. And I texted Logan this and I said, do you get what I'm saying? Am I speaking in hyperbole? And he said, no, not based on the body type. Not based on the way he looks right now. Brandon Coleman's got Trent Williams written all over him. I tell you what, it is. Trent Silverback Williams. From a physicality standpoint, the way he moves his feet, that's the thing about BC that's been awesome. The way he moves his feet, the lateral quickness. I mean, the technique is out of this world. Big credit to Art Stapleton and Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coaches for the Commanders, for coaching this kid up, despite him, right, missing a chunk of time during camp. That's the other part of this. He ain't playing the preseason. He missed a bunch of time during camp, and he hit the ground running, man. It's like he's been there all summer, which is good. Those two dudes got to play big on Sunday. They have to. My other two key Commanders, this is just for number two, John Allen and Daron Payne. And if they listen to sports talk radio, they probably can't stand my ass. But look, it's all love. It's all love. They got to be better, especially in this week's game. Cleveland cannot protect Deshaun Watson. Let me repeat that. Cleveland cannot protect Deshaun Watson. All year long, they haven't been able to protect him. He is the most pressured quarterback in the NFL through the first month of the season. They got to get after him. If they can, right? If they can, whew, it's going to be a long day for Cleveland. It just is. If they can get after Deshaun Watson, it is going to be a long day for the Cleveland Browns. 73 pressures. They've given up 73 pressures on Deshaun Watson this year. Abysmal. Deshaun Watson, ninth in time to throw. Won't get rid of it. Won't get rid of it. They've got to be better. Talking about Cleveland, I don't think they can get much worse. It feels like Washington's defense should get right against, man. It just does. And I don't want to be that guy to talk trash about the Commanders' defense. It's not even me talking trash. It just is what it is. They've got to be better. And to me, it starts with stopping the run because you got to earn the right to rush the quarterback. And they haven't yet to this point. They haven't. But if you stop the run Sunday, Deshaun Watson, most sacked quarterback in the NFL, has been sacked 19 times here in the first month. They're averaging, this is abysmal. I mean, this is a bit, averaging 3.6 yards per passing play. What? I mean, come on. It's 31st in the NFL. They're a JV-level offense. Daron Payne and John Allen, your time is now. It just is. It just is. Your time is now. Buckle up, put your big boy pants on, and let's go win a football game. They need to dominate Sunday. Then my third and final key, Commander. Pretty obvious, right? Jaden bleeping Daniels. Kid's been stones, lights out, all year long here in the first month. Can he continue it against another really tough defense? That's the question. Can he keep it going? Can he keep it going? Because if he can, you thought this week was crazy. You thought the hype was real this week. Let him come back home and put up another big-time performance against Cleveland. Going into next week against the Ravens, this place is going to be unrecognizable. I'm telling you. I said it earlier. You can smell when it's about to rain outside. I think the national media can smell that the Commanders are about to be back. Austin Ekeler back in the fold this week. Denton had a line on the pregame show last week, and I had to agree with him. Said Austin Ekeler's been the most impactful free agent signing this offseason. Yeah. I mean, Cousins last night was awesome. But if you're going non-quarterback, doesn't get much more impactful than what Dirty 30's done. 1-800-636-1067. Key Commanders, who must play well in order for Washington to get to 4-1? Mark is in Charles County. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, fellas. I'm way too old to be calling, but I do. I like your game. I like your game. I appreciate you in the area.
You know, yes, sir, way I back, you.
But this has to be an old school, because that's what I know, an old school RFK defensive game. If it's not a defensive coming out party, the defense has to control this game. It's a sellout. Offense has been carrying everything. The crowd is going to be there. The defense has to do something, whether opportunistic. 14 points, hey, that's good. The defense has to keep this in control so the offense can just kind of get a break, you know, 21 points, get a turnover, you know, a field position. Has to be a defensive game. With the crowd, they cannot let anybody walk up and down the field. It just has to be an old-time defensive game. But I see us going 1-1 for the next 2 weeks, but I'd rather have the Baltimore win than this one. But I want to know what would you like. We can either be 0-2, which I can't think of, 1-1, or 2-0 in the next 2 weeks. If we're 2-0, that's a way whole other level. So you can't even think about that. But 1-1, you can. So which one would you want? I'm agreeing.
Mark, I appreciate you, man. If they beat Baltimore, if they beat Baltimore next week, I don't know what the hell I'd think.
We'll be insufferable.
No, seriously.
The worst humans. Nobody would want to speak to us.
I'm already doing we're undefeated since I started wearing the Jaden Daniels jersey backwards during the in-game show.
Mm.
I'll never take the damn jersey off.
Get a tattoo, full body tattoo?
I mean, why not at this point? 1-800-636-1067. First guest of the evening set to stop by the program next about David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, giving us his 2 cents on how the Commanders get to 4-1 Sunday against the Browns. David Harrison up next on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. You're tapped in to the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, going to go out to the BetQL guest hotline for the first time in the program to be joined by one of our favorites, about David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He's also a contributor to WSA9. .com. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at dharrison82. David, how does it feel to be back in your own bed for the week, my brother? I was about to say, you guys have been on the road for a week as well as you were out in Tempe following the boys.
No, it feels good, man. But, you know, it's much more worth the trip when the team you're covering, you're making those travels for, is coming back with two wins in their carry-on luggage. So that makes it worth it.
For sure. And obviously the past 2 weeks have been absolutely bedlam. Washington, the flavor of the week. You can't turn on your TV. You can't scroll too far down the X app without seeing Jaden Daniels' number 5 jersey. It's a great time to be a supporter of this franchise. I want to go back to a little bit to last week a little bit, and just what you were able to sense from the team going into that game against Arizona, fresh off of a big win where they were the talk of the town. Was it work as usual, and that was the reason they were able to walk Arizona up and down the field on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I really felt like it was. You know, it was kind of weird because it was a little bit difficult to really get a sense of the team because we didn't have, like, your usual locker room environment after practice and all that stuff. But, like, just getting eyes on what you could and, you know, talking to Jaden at the mic and the coaches. And then when we did have players, like, we would get the players outside the weight room there at Arizona State campus, you know, as they were getting ready to go in or come out from working out. Like, you still kind of got this sense of, like, this wasn't a team that was really feeling themselves as much as everybody else was. You know, certainly a happy team and an upbeat team. More guys are wanting to talk and willing to talk and all those things. You know, Bobby Wagner's messing with Jaden and Sam Fortier while they're doing pressers. So certainly upbeat, but not to this, like, arrogant level that, you know, I think some people were worried coming out of Cincinnati. Like, you know, this could be kind of a trap game where they go into Arizona, you know, feeling themselves a little too much and all those things. And I think that throughout the week, even though I know some people were worried about that, that wasn't the sense that you got just being around the guys. So, you know, going into it, I was confident. I know a lot of people were confident predicting a Commanders win. I don't think anybody expected the defense to rise up as much as they did just from an execution standpoint. It didn't really have anything to do with the mentality of the team. But, you know, certainly coming into it, looking at the Cardinals, saying, you know, this is a winnable game. And I think that when you go from a lot of people looking at it and saying a 2-2 start would be great to start the season, and then you come into the final game of the 4-game stretch there saying 3-1 is almost assured if they come there and play their brand of football. That's a pretty impressive turn of fortune, I think, in the first 4 games for this team.
Yeah, it's been a crazy start. It's been fun to watch, obviously. You know, your vantage point always is unique to me because you get to be around these guys in the locker room, and just to hear their heightened level of focus, man, is impressive. It's a young group. Yeah, they've got some veterans sprinkled in, you know, with Bobby and Austin and Zach Ertz, but for the most part, it's a young team. It's why I continue to go back, David, to Jaden Daniels. And Mark Schlereth told a story earlier this week with a guy, Craig Hoffman, on the Team 980. That Cliff told, to where they're out and they're getting ready to go to their production meeting early in the morning with, you know, the Fox crew. And just like they would at home, Jaden Daniels showing up to the makeshift coach's office at 5:30 a.m. to ask Cliff what he's going over. How have you watched or how have you seen Jaden Daniels change at all? Or have you seen Jaden Daniels change at all during this 2-week stretch of success? Clearly not much changing with the work habits as he's still first guy in, last guy out.
Yeah, I think that's the best part, is that he really hasn't changed. You know what I mean? And I kind of wrote about this, you know, earlier this week on the site, and just kind of saying, like, a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of players will come out and say, you know, that was yesterday, this is today, and, you know, we got to focus on next week. But sometimes guys say it and you're like, yeah, okay, that's the cliche thing to say. We know why everybody says it. But when Jaden says, you actually kind of get that vibe, and no matter how much he gets kind of pressed, like, I don't think anybody in the media is trying to trap him into, like, a cocky moment, but I think a lot of people are just kind of in awe for him, right? Like, understanding, like, you're a rookie in the National Football League and you're having this much success, and people are comparing, like, your early beginnings to, like, Lamar Jackson's early beginnings and all these things. Like, who wouldn't kind of sit back every once in a while and maybe be awestruck by yourself, by your own success? So people are kind of pressing and being like, you know, isn't it amazing or doesn't it feel great? And every time Jaden kind of just immediately has the same reaction, says, no, like, it's not amazing, it's not great, it's, you know, it's kind of what I'm getting paid to do here, and this is what we're supposed to do, this is what we want to do, and we want to keep doing it. And I think he understands that the way to keep doing it is to continue working for that next best level of play. And, you know, the respect that he has for the game, the respect that he has for the guys around him, it's actually kind of funny, right? Like, it's a weird kind of dot to connect, I think. But if you look at, he won the Nickelodeon, I don't know the name of it, like the Slime Time Award thing or whatever. And he's going through and he's kind of like, he's kind of dumping a little bit of slime on Sam Cosmi, a little bit of slime on the next guy, and all that stuff. And then the old line to get out there, they just dump it all on him as soon as they can. But that kind of shows you the mentality. Like, he's not really kind of going overboard with any of it. Like, every single moment is kind of like this, like, yeah, it's fun, I'm smiling, but it's just a small part of it. And the next thing is the biggest thing. So I don't know if that's a weird connection to make, but it kind of demonstrates his mentality and how he's approaching this whole thing right now.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And we were able to sense this back in the summer and in the spring. It's just a different vibe about him. And I know now more access with the open locker rooms, so you get to see him interact with his teammates more. Just carries himself like a regular guy in the locker room. And he's part of that Inland Empire family. Stroud from that area, B-Wags from that area. And those guys handle themselves that way as well. So California cool is the best way that I can describe it. One thing that's made his life easy, Cliff Kingsbury, David, is off to just an electric start as a play caller. I think the last 2 weeks in particular, he has put on an offensive play calling masterclass, easing Jaden into these football games, expanding the passing game each week, being multiple and versatile with their personnel groupings. I've dubbed it exotic smash mouth football. You've heard me say that dating back to the summer, man. They had to run the ball. They have to stay ahead of the chains. Well, easier said than done. What do you think has been the biggest reason that Washington and Cliff Kingsbury have been able to have this success?
I mean, honestly, I think you have to start with the offensive line, right? Like, I think, you come out wanting to throw short, you come out wanting to run the ball and kind of establish this physical dominance. And you go back to the first drive of the game against the Arizona Cardinals, 12 personnel the entire way down. And I talked to some of the old linemen, I talked to some of the tight ends after the game, and they all kind of, to a man, kind of communicated about how that really did it. Set the tone. You can kind of tell it on the Arizona Cardinals side of things, that they were like, man, okay, this is going to be all day long. And when you have your opponent coming into the rest of the game with this understanding, like, dude, you're about to get your butt kicked all day long, win, lose, or draw, this is going to be your existence for the next hour of your life, like, of game time anyway, right? That's a hard thing for any grown man, I think, to handle, right? What's the old adage, like, the greatest feeling in all sports is to take a grown man and physically move him from one spot to another against his will, all that stuff. Like, that's basically what the Commanders' offensive line and the tight ends, you got to throw them in there, did to that Cardinals front. And I think when you have that mentality, I've been talking to Andrew Wiley after these games this season, and every single time he's like, man, I'm exhausted. I can't wait to get some sleep, whether it's on the plane or on the bus to the airport or wherever. But he's so happy to be exhausted because of what they've been able to accomplish. And that's what's going to motivate you to continue to do it moving forward. And from there, you can start to, I kind of call it like the jab, jab, hook, and then you take that haymaker swing, 55-yarder here, a 24-yarder there. And that's where you can kind of start to boil these things down. Because when you look at what they're doing on offense, man, I think last week, if I remember correctly, it was 5 explosive plays on offense. That's not many. The week before that was 4 explosive plays on offense. So they're not coming out here and just throwing, massive uppercuts at people. They really are just kind of body blow after body blow after body blow. And the frustrating thing for a defense is, even though it's somewhat simplistic, even though kind of what's coming, from a stylistic standpoint, you can't stop it. Like, there's, that's even more frustrating is when you're just getting your tail kicked because that team is just better than you at this stage. And that's what the Commanders have been doing.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch, man. For a guy that appreciates offensive line play, just the way that they've been, pulling guys away from the direction of the run, playing with the eyes of the defenders, it's been really cool to watch. Staying ahead of the chains has been something to me, David, that has really allowed this thing to function at as high of a rate as it has. How sustainable do you think it is moving forward for them to continue to play this clean brand of football, not having pre-snap penalties, not having the negative plays? Cliff talked about it, the big difference from Cincinnati, or from New York rather, to Cincinnati. 21 negative plays against the Giants, just 4 against the Bengals. Are they going to be able to continue to live life like that, you think?
I mean, you can, right? I mean, it really boils down. Like, pre-snap penalties, and that's what, Dan Quinn talks about a lot, is that's why you can't live with those pre- and post-snap penalties, because it all comes down to discipline, right? That all comes down to just keeping a level head, being in the moment and all those cliches that we say, but it's real, right? Like, when you're down in the red zone, you need a touchdown. don't get so nervous or anxious that you come out of the blocks early and set your team back 5 yards, you know, things like that. Don't post play, you know, I mean, I think we all kind of agree the Alameda Zacchaeus, you know, taunting flag was a little weak, right? But there's penalties that you see across the NFL every week for guys getting shoved in matches and you end up costing your team, you know, a handful of yards. Like, don't get into those things. Stay disciplined, stay within what you're trying to do. And I think that is something that once you establish it, right, like once you establish that ability to be disciplined on the field, it's certainly something you can continue. And I think what we're really going to see continue is this tempo thing, right? Again, DQ yes. kind of talked about it during the week, but also I got to give a shout out to Dan Orlovsky. I think he was the first like national media member I've seen really kind of latch onto it, where they're just kind of going, you know, no huddle, and they're keeping the same personnel packages, forcing the defense to keep their same personnel package. But while they're doing that, they're shifting their formation in every which way. And what that forces the defense to do is you can't just sit there and you can't, you basically create a bunch of unscouted looks, because even if you've seen, you know, this is our third no huddle play in a third different alignment with the same personnel grouping, right, you might have seen this formation on tape, but we're giving you no opportunity for your coach to recall and say, hey, that's what this play probably is going to be on defense. You have no ability. You might have a really smart dude who says, oh man, it's third and short, they're in this formation, hey guys, they're probably going to do this. By the time he clicks that and gets ready to communicate that to his teammates, the ball's already snapped, and now you're hoping all 11 guys recalled the same thing that you recalled. So it's really an interesting way to almost kind of present scouted looks and then also add in some unscouted looks and new wrinkles in there. But even if it's looks that we know everybody has seen, well, good luck recognizing it, adjusting to it, and getting set for it before we snap the ball, because we're moving with tempo. And it's a really cool way to, again, almost like, if you look at the play designs, a lot of them are very simplistic, but the reason they're working is that the defense has no time to read it, react to it, and get set for it.
For sure, man. And it honestly feels like I actually wasn't sustainable. I think it's sustainable as well. As long as they can continue to play clean football, I think they'll be fine. The only thing I worry about, David, selfishly, and I guess this is a good position to be in, man, how does Cliff not viewed, if this success continues, he eventually catapults into one of the hottest names on the head coaching market this offseason. It's a good position to be in, but darn, man, I would love to see him get to continue to grow with Jaden Daniels and this offense.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question to ask, right? And obviously we've got a lot of weeks, you know, ahead of us to figure out if this is going to be a real question at the end of the season. But I think part of it, you know, it's actually kind of funny. I was actually watching an episode of Shark Tank, and I literally just had this conversation with another media member. And then that night I'm watching an episode of Shark Tank, and, you know, one of the sharks is like, but what is about what you're doing to the entrepreneur? What is about what you're doing that I can't just rip off and copy and sell it myself? And kind of, and honestly, as much as we enjoy what Cliff Kingsbury is doing right now, name me an offensive coordinator in the NFL that can't say, oh man, running no huddle while shifting formations in the same personnel grouping. Like, it's kind of weird that it's 2024 and this isn't, I'm sure this isn't the first time it's ever been done, but it kind of feels like a thing that not a lot of people in the NFL have done, is keep the same personnel groupings but shift them into different alignments while you're running no huddle down the field. And it's almost one of those ideas that's so simplistic that you almost feel dumb for not doing it. But the question would be then, if you have a really good offensive coordinator over here in whatever city, like, can Ben Johnson draw this up for Jared Goff and the Lions offense? Absolutely he could. You know what I mean? Zach Robinson, can he draw this up for his team? Absolutely. Can Kyle Shanahan adopt this for the San Francisco 49ers? 100%. So, you know, what's making Cliff Kingsbury's offense stand out so much right now isn't necessarily something that's proprietary to him. Like, it's not something that only Cliff Kingsbury can do. So when the rest of the league can easily copy what you're doing, then that's when you as a coach kind of lose a little bit of value in that market. And now it turns into, well, why did he falter in Arizona? And are those issues going to be fixed? And certainly you're never going to truly know that until he gets a second opportunity. And look, I think that once we start seeing some other teams start to try to copy this, we'll find out, like, is this something, you know, like Tush-Push, right? Everybody looks at Tush-Push and says, man, that's really simple. But guess what? For whatever reason, last year, the Eagles are really the only team that could really accomplish it on a regular basis. So is it really simplistic, or does it just look simplistic? So once other teams start to copy him, which I think is probably going to start here in the next few weeks if they continue this clip, then I think that's when we'll find out, is this truly a Cliff Kingsbury thing, Is it truly a Jaden thing, or is it something that the rest of the NFL can kind of get on board with, like Wildcat did, and maybe it lasts a couple of seasons before it kind of eventually fades away? But I think it's really interesting, and I do think it's something that's sustainable and something that, you know, if I were an opposing offensive coordinator out there, I'd be trying to come up with my own method of doing this as well. And it's kind of funny, you know, we've been watching them install this kind of thing since training camp,
right?
And the drill that they run to start installing some of this, they've been doing in front of all of us the entire time. And I don't know that a single one of us has really kind of honed in on it, but it really is starting to become a very big part of what they do.
Yes, it is. But look, you said imitation, the biggest form of flattery. It wouldn't shock me if other teams tried to do it, because guess what, David? As you mentioned, it is working. We're joined right now by our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can also check out his writing for Commanders SI as well as for WSA9.com. David, injury news for the Commanders. We found out today Austin Ekeler going to be back in the lineup for the game against the Browns on Sunday. Brian Robinson officially listed as a game time decision. No Noah Brown, though. Just looking at the offense and their injury situation, what would be the impact, or what is the impact, rather, of Eckler's return? And then how concerned are you about potentially being without Noah Brown and maybe Brian Robinson?
Yeah, I think if you're without Noah Brown and Brian Robinson, that's certainly more concerning. I think if Brian can go, and, you know, even if he goes on a limited, you know, I don't know if they would put him on a pitch count per se, but even if he just even if the touch share between he and Austin is bigger and Jeremy McNichols, you know, gets more touches than he had when both Brian and Austin were available beforehand because of what he did last week. Like, as long as you get a little bit of that mixture in there, I think you feel okay. I think if you're losing, if you're just flat out without Brian and flat out without Noah, I think you're a little bit more concerned, right? Because I think Austin Ekeler can still run, you know, through the line of scrimmage better than a lot of people give him credit for, but certainly not to the level that Brian Robinson can, right? Jeremy McNichols, I think, you know, I mean, we've been talking about him since training camp as well. He's got some ability that I think now, you know, after last week, a lot more people are aware of, but still not, you know, not the thumper, you know, not the strong running type to the level of Brian Robinson. And when you look at a potential practice squad elevation, Michael Wiley's not that guy. Chris Rodriguez is certainly more of a thumper type, right? But he's not as versatile, I think, as Brian Robinson. So there's a lot that you lose there with him, and then to not have Noah Brown on top of it. You know, Noah, interesting little, you know, stat scouting moment, leads the league right now in successful catches. 90% of Noah Brown's catches are successful plays. That's an incredible amount of conversion. So there's an ability there. But we did see Olamide Zaccheaus step up. You know, yes. Luke McCaffrey has certainly flashed in moments. You know, 17-yard catch on a 2nd and 15 play. Like, I know it's his only catch of the game, but his only catch of the game is a 17-yard gain on 15 yards to gain. Like, that's huge. You know what I mean?
Right.
So let's not undersell that either. I think that, and then with everything we just talked about, and if they can establish a firm line of scrimmage, like all of those things, I think they're still going to be okay. I think I would still predict the Commanders to win this game, even if B-Rod can't go. But I feel like obviously you're more confident in Brian Robinson can even get out there to get, you know, 60% of his normal workload.
Only a few more minutes with you, David. Appreciate you giving us some time. Defensively, they've been a little bit of an eyesore when it comes to trying to stop the run. Cincinnati's a group that on paper has struggled to do it this year, but we know at their core that's what they want to do. I thought Drew Petzing didn't stay with it long enough last weekend for Arizona, and I think that ultimately, you know, played a part in their demise. When you look at Cleveland offensively and, you know, their ability to try and run the football, are you confident in Washington's front seven to bottle things up in the running game for the first time really this season?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know what I mean? Because the Cleveland Browns, like, that is the one thing offensively they actually do fairly well. I think they're ranked, like, in the middle of the pack in rushing yards per attempt, but their rushing yards per game average is super low because they throw the ball a lot. Deshaun Watson is throwing the ball, has the fifth most attempts, pass attempts in the NFL this year so far. I think a big part of that is because they're behind. But I think a lot of offensive coordinators, I mean, you mentioned the Cardinals, I mean, James Conner still ended up actually with a pretty decent workload, but you're right. Like, they went away from it super early. At one point in time, they had five possessions, and the three possessions they got into scoring range on, James Conner was a big part of their offense. The two that they didn't, James Conner was no part of their offense. So it seems pretty clear to a layman like me sitting in the press box eating my nachos that James Conner is a pretty important part of your offense. The Cleveland Browns, like, that's been the best part, the most consistent part
of your offense. We talk about success rates. Deshaun Watson's the only quarterback, the only qualifying quarterback he's beating in successful passes so far this season is Bryce Young. So in theory, like you're one notch above a dude who's not playing anymore, right? So you would think you would want to take advantage of that. You would think you'd want to set that tone with the Washington Commanders. But again, even early on, the Washington Commanders defense bends but doesn't break, right? Allows a couple of field goals that the Commanders offense can keep humming, get a couple of touchdowns. How quickly do the Browns turn into a pass-happy team? They've obviously shown the ability and willingness to do that this season already because they're getting pass-happy in some games that really aren't running away from them all that much. So if that happens, now, of course, the challenge comes with the secondary and the pass rush. But, you know, if they can reproduce the effort that they gave last week, I think that's a pretty good situation to be in.
David, before we let you go, my man, prediction for Sunday, a score, and why you think it happens?
I'm going 28-20. I'm going 28-20 Commanders. I think you might see like a little bit of a garbage time touchdown from the Browns there that kind of makes that a little bit I don't say close but a little close enough. I just with how banged up the Browns are, I know they might be getting some of their linemen back and things like that. I look at this team and I think that you just came off of a big win against the Cardinals team that's better than this Browns team. I still don't feel like this team is overly feeling themselves. I think this coaching staff and the veterans that you mentioned in the locker room are going to make sure that even if any of the young guys are feeling like, man, this NFL thing is easy, they're definitely going to be there to keep them in check. And the most important young guy that you don't want to feel like it's easy, Jaden, I think that he's got his head on straight, you know? So we'll see, man. He got a lot of trophies in September.
Yeah,
that
dude got like five or six
trophies. So we'll see.
Getting it in. David, I appreciate you as always, my friend. Enjoy the game.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That's David Harrison, one of the absolute best, talking all things Washington Commanders. Check out his work at WSA9.com as well as wherever you get your podcast, the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can catch David with that. Call on the line. Paulie wants to give keys to victory. Paulie, what's going on, bro?
Hell to the W, man. What's going on
hell
now?
Hell to it. A Friday night. Get ready. Sunday's a big game, you know, man.
What? Hey, it is a big game, man. Hey. I was telling your producer, like, I'll agree with you 100% on the offense, man. Let's keep running that ball.
Yeah.
Regardless if we're gashing them or not, you're right. We got to keep them honest. You know what I mean? It's about keeping the defense honest and not letting them making us one-dimensional. You know, and it's working for us. So, you know, if it's working, let's keep doing it.
Yeah.
So I most definitely agree with you on the offense. Like, you know, and also it keeps us playing physical. You know, I say dynamic and physical. You say exotic smash mouth. But I think we're saying the same thing. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Same language.
Oh, right. On defense, man, I got to disagree with you. I've been disagreeing with you at all week. You know, to me, the rush defense is not just about the tackles. You're right, though. If you're getting one-on-one blocking, you got to shed your block and make a play.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But, you know, if they're getting doubled up in there, then these linebackers got to be able to scrape and make
for
plays
sure.
in the hole also. You know what I mean? So for me, it's more or less, I think they need to work together with this. It's not just about one position. Like I said, to me, it's about the front seven. And also Joe Witt, man. You know, Joe Witt got to start. He got to figure out what he wants the identity of this defense to be.
Right.
You know, because sometimes, you know, you got to be a schematical coordinator. And we know this is his first year as a coordinator calling plays. You know, so
it's different for him,
he could be at. Yeah, we could be at a disadvantage with that. He's learning, too. He's on a learning curve, too. But I think it's about time that he needs to say, okay, you know, we're going to be an attacking defense or we're going to be a read or react defense. Whatever it is, I think he needs to start, you know, doing a better job of game planning to the offense, dictating his defense to the offense, you know. And me personally,
yeah. The
one player I'll be definitely watching out there is Forbes. I want to see how he.
I want to see if they're going to start him or not.
I mean, regardless if he start or not. But you know what I've seen from him last week that I haven't seen in a long time? Confidence, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
It looked like he had a little swagger back last week. You know what I mean?
He needs it.
We really need Forbes to come through as at least one of these first round picks that the previous guy picked to help him out, man.
Because think about this. If St. Juice is a free agent this offseason, if Forbes doesn't come through and you're parting ways with him, you're going to have your top three corners next year going to be totally different people.
Hey, but think about this, though. even if St. Juice do come back next year, you still need to bring in three corners.
Damn.
You know it's true now, man. Bro, you know it's true.
I know. Hopefully Sam is still, man, continues to progress, man. But that's going to be tough.
Sam is still going to be all right, bro. He's going to be all right.
But the thing is now, they're not even playing him in position. I don't think he'll ever really be a true outside, but.
No. He's just filling the gap. But it's a good thing, though, because you know what I see from him? When after Chase made him barbecue chicken, he caught an attitude. He started getting physical out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, hey, guess what? As a D-back, man, you got to have a short-term memory. That's all that is. But you got to keep that swagger, man. You know what I mean? So, like I said, man, hey, and like the guy just said, though, I'm not really too worried about if Robinson and Brown, we know Brown is out, but
yeah.
I like McCaffrey, bro. I think this is going to be the McCaffrey breakout game. He's been open for 5 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We didn't really got him the ball consistently. But I can see a breakout game for McCaffrey on Sunday also.
He can use it. Washington going to be down. Appreciate you, Paulie, as always, my brother.
Hey, have a good night, man. You hell too, to the bro.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you hear from a couple of defenders in the NFC East heaping heavy praise for the Commander's signal caller. That's next here on The Fan.